coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. In many religions, people try to approach their deity by offering sacrifices. However, Christianity says God comes to us as the sacrifice, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world.
Jesus can fill you with joy, even in struggle, with hope, even amidst uncertainty, with power when you feel nothing but weak. And someday you will see with your eyes what you already are by faith in Him. Look, see the Lamb, and see your life by faith in Him.
Pastor Gregory Seltz's message is titled, Looking for God? Look to the Lamb. Later we'll hear how God used a worm to save a city and how God works through you and me to bless others. Hello, I'm Mark Eicher. Your gifts and prayers enable the Lutheran Hour to share Christ's love with people around the world. Thank you for your faithful support. And now with today's message, here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. What are you looking for today? I mean, what do you really want to see in your life, in this world? You know, those questions often disturb, they confuse, they even unsettle people. And that's true even among many Christians today. You know, looking at some of the statistics, one can see that oftentimes Christians don't practice what they preach, and they don't even know the power and uniqueness of the message they hold to be true. Some go to church, they even support the church, and they participate in its activities, yet it doesn't seem to find a place in their everyday lives. Clayton Sullivan, in his book titled Called to Preach, Condemned to Survive, compares people's sentiment toward religion today like a grandfather clock that has become a family heirloom. It's polished and it's dusted regularly. It has a place of honor in the living room, yet no one notices if it's functioning. There is no expectation for that grandfather clock to tell time or to regulate their life. There's no concern as to whether it is working or not. But what is sure, however, is that no one wants to get rid of it. It has always been a part of the family. Well, it was like that for the people in our lesson today. John the Baptizer looks at Jesus and says, He's finally here. Look, the Lamb of God. But many yawned at that proclamation. The people of Israel, they'd been anxiously waiting for a long time to see the Messiah promised to them by God. For hundreds of years, God had again and again renewed His promise that a Savior would come. The people waited, and then they lost interest. Why? Well, they started looking for the wrong person. They were looking for the wrong man, a man in shining armor who would free them from the Roman Empire as Moses had freed them from slavery in Egypt. And now the day had finally come. God's last prophet before Jesus, John the Baptist, was proclaiming that there is no more waiting, no more wondering, and no more questioning as to whether or not God would really send them the promised Messiah. John says, He is here. Look and see. But John says something very strange to their ears. He doesn't say, Here's the Messiah who will save us from Rome, but rather, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Many in that day, you know, they went to synagogue, they went through the religious rituals, they listened to their teachers, and they tried to obey the rules and regulations put upon them by the priests and the Pharisees. But religion and the application of religion to real life, well, it just became ceremony and ritual, and it had lost meaning for their lives. John's call to the people of Israel, it echoes into our lives. It's as if he's saying, stop and take another look at your life. Take a look at what the Bible says you really need. And look at Jesus anew. I mean, what does he mean to you on his terms alone? Is he simply someone you call upon when you're in trouble or have a difficult problem to solve? Is he merely your momentary knight in shining armor who will charge into your life to help you overcome a sickness, a difficult situation, depression, or a life and death situation? Or is he the Lamb of God who has come to take away your sins and the sins of the world? In fact, why is he called a lamb? You know, when you hear that, what image comes to your mind? Do you see a cute little lamb held in a child's arms or a shepherd carrying a little lamb as he leads a flock to pasture? Maybe you see a little lamb looking into the manger on a printed Christmas card. Well, when John the Baptist spoke these words, he had a totally different picture in his mind. Remember, John was the son of a priest, which meant he knew the priests had to often sacrifice a lamb for the sins of God's people. He also had a clear picture of the Passover feast, which the Jews celebrated, helping them to remember how in Egypt God saved the Israelites by the blood of the lamb, smeared on the doorpost of the house, causing the angel of death to pass over them. I am sure his remembrance of his early teaching of the Old Testament would have reminded him of the prophet Isaiah, who foretold the coming of Jesus in these words: "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors." The Lamb, Jesus is the Lamb. It became one of the most precious titles for Jesus Christ. In one word, it sums up the love, the sacrifice, the suffering, and the triumph of Jesus. In Verden, Germany, there is a Catholic church that has a carved figure of a lamb near the top of the church's tower. When the church was being built, a workman fell from a high scaffold. His co-workers rushed down, expecting to find him dead. But to their surprise and joy, he was alive and only slightly injured. How did he survive? Well, a flock of sheep was passing beneath the tower just at that time, and he landed on top of a lamb. The lamb broke his fall and was crushed to death, but the man was saved. And so to commemorate this miracle, someone carved a lamb on the tower at the exact height from which that workman fell. Well, John introduced Jesus then, and he introduces Jesus to you now as the Lamb of God who was crushed and died to save us from our fall into sin. John was to step back and let Jesus take center stage at this moment in time. And listen to what he continues to say: "This is the man who comes after me, yet a man who ranks before me because he was before me." And then he says, "I myself did not even know him." Now, how's that again? I mean, what did John mean there? John and Jesus were relatives. Surely they knew each other. Well, what John was saying is that he knew Jesus as a person, as a relative. It was not, however, until God revealed him as his son on the day of his baptism, when the dove, the Spirit of God, landed on Jesus. Then John recognized Jesus for who he really was, the Son of God, the Lamb. Even John, by the power of the Holy Spirit, had to make an amazing discovery. He realized that this Jesus is not merely a friend, a relative. This is the one whom Jeremiah, Isaiah, and other prophets foretold as the promised Messiah. Now John realized that his only function in life was to point people to Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. He was to draw back the curtain and let Jesus occupy center stage. He was to stand below the stage and point to Jesus Christ, saying, "Look, see, this is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So that's why I want to ask you today, whom do you see? What do you see? What are you really looking for today? Still in the shadows of New Year's resolutions, political changes, personal challenges, today is the best day for you to sing that Christmas song, "What Child Is This?" in the hope of what that child was here to do. Baby Jesus, okay, but more, the Lamb, the Messiah, the Son of God. This, "This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing." Like the shepherds of that Christmas morn, like the wise men of Epiphany, like John here in this text, seeing Jesus the Lamb move them all to shout to whomever would listen, "Look, this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is God's Son, the Lamb of God for you." Is that what you see today? Because if you do, it will make all the difference in your life. Can you say this? "This Jesus is the one for whom I've been waiting. He is the Lamb of God who takes away my sins. He takes away your sins and even the sins of the whole world." And what happens if we follow him? The invitation is here, right now, for you. Look and see. Trust and follow him. He's the Lamb of God. He's in the lead. He's God on the move. He's salvation in action for you. If you've got other questions about Jesus, the Bible's going to fill in those blanks in the days to come, talking about Jesus who alone by his death and resurrection obtains for you the forgiveness of your sins and the privilege for you to have eternal life with him in heaven. But today's the day where John the Baptizer says, "Look, the Lamb." What a day it was for John. He proclaimed Christ, but it was a day of loss for him too. You know, some of his disciples, because of John's words, would leave him and follow Jesus alone. I imagine that at first those disciples of John probably followed Jesus at a distance, perhaps too shy and a little fearful to approach him directly. But it is Jesus who then turns and he speaks to them. He meets them halfway. He makes things easier for them to come and meet him. Then, like now, Jesus hasn't changed. He's the inviter. He's not the standoffish savior. He's the seeker of sinners, people like you and me, so that we all might have his grace. So if you're looking at him today from a distance, if you're wondering if he is really the one that you want to follow, or you might have some fears about what it means to follow Jesus, I'm going to boldly just say it. He's right here, right now, for you. The God of the Bible doesn't just meet us halfway. In fact, he comes all the way to save us. St. Augustine said, "We could not even have begun to see God unless God had already found us." So when even our hearts are searching for Jesus, know this, he does not keep at a distance from you and me. He's waiting there to meet us. What I love about this event in the Bible is not just John's proclamation or Jesus' availability. It's the next question that Jesus asks of all the seekers. He says this, ready? "What are you looking for?" You know, that question, what are you looking for? It's still fundamental. What are you hoping to find? What are you seeking to find? What are you studying to uncover? Do you want more laws, better policies, self-help direction, a little more notoriety, position, and power? What? All those questions might have been in their minds too, just like in ours. So it's time to ask again. Jesus is looking in your eyes, your heart, your mind. He's asking, what are you looking for? What? Whom do you seek? Are you looking for security, enough money, a good position, cars, homes, material things, which we think will ease the worry and stress that seem to plague our everyday existence? Or perhaps are you searching for power and prominence and prestige so that you get a little recognition in life? Yeah, that'll allow us to leave a legacy. Well, many of us are searching for peace that will allow us and our children to live without fear. Now, when you think about those things, they're not necessarily bad goals, but they're limited by time. They're limited by this world. Stop and think as you search your souls. What are you looking for? What are the deep needs of your life? You know, I believe we would all have to say it's how we live at peace with ourselves and with God today and in eternity. When Jesus asked this question of these men, their response was, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Well, by calling him rabbi, they were saying, "We want you to be our teacher." And by asking where he was staying, they were saying, "And we want you to have your say with us as you stay with us. We want to get to know you." Well, now that's a resolution for this new year that will last. It will bless. And you know it's never going to lose its power or influence in your life because it's connected to the Lamb who was slain for you. So make this resolution. Listen in with me on the Lutheran Hour. Let's live with him, to listen to him through his word. Let's share together with him our problems, our doubts and fears, and know him together as our friend, our Savior, the Lamb. You can not only let him into your house, he can come into your heart, your mind, your soul with a life-giving, life-changing word. To the disciples then and to us today, Jesus responds with an invitation. Come and see. Jesus doesn't offer words to try to explain who he is and why he's here. He simply offers them to come, to get to know him, to follow him, to listen to him, to trust in him, to find your ultimate answers to things that only he alone can bring. After spending the day with Jesus, these men are transformed and they become his disciples. And that same invitation is waiting for you here today. Andrew in the text is one of those disciples. He's mentioned here by name, and he totally understood the invitation of Jesus. It touched him so deeply and affected his whole life immediately. Andrew had learned from his teacher, John the Baptist, to be willing to follow rather than to lead, to be willing to lead people to the leader rather than to take credit and fame for himself. Knowing from his relationship with John that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, Andrew went quickly to find his brother Peter. He used the same simple invitation that Jesus had used on him. He simply invites, come and see, come and see. Not pushy, not demanding, not filled with scare tactics, but simply, come and see who this one is. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be amazed. You're even going to be blessed. If you can really see this Jesus today, see the Lamb living, dying, and rising again for you so that you can live abundantly in his grace now and forever, that will change your life. Jesus can fill you with joy even in struggle, with hope even amidst uncertainty, with power when you feel nothing but weak. And someday you will see with your eyes what you already are by faith in him. Look, see the Lamb, and see your life by faith in him. You know, I heard it told that a person came upon Michelangelo chipping away with his chisel at a huge, shapeless piece of rock. The person asked him what he was doing, and Michelangelo answered, I am releasing the angel that is imprisoned in the marble. Well, in the same way, Jesus knows who you were created to be. He knows what sin has done to encase you in death and destruction. And he has come as the Lamb, the one who can release us from the burden of unwanted weight that we carry around. He alone can chisel away our sin, smooth our rough places, and release us as his new person in Jesus Christ. So don't just muse about it today. Cry out aloud with John the Baptist, look and see, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he's here. He's here for you. He's here for me. Amen.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and this is Action in Ministry. And Pastor Seltz, your message today makes me think, am I looking to this Lamb and letting him do through me all that he has prepared for me to do?
It really is a humbling thing to think about the fact that the Lamb of God calls us to follow him, but also to be used by him in his work for other people.
And we have a booklet we'd love for you to have. It's titled Your Place in God's Plan. And here to talk with us about that is Linda Cox, who is our lead response center representative. She's the person who has the privilege of connecting with many of you each week when you call us or send us emails.
I know she does a great job, too. And Linda, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
All right, listen, you help put these kinds of resources in people's hands every day. This booklet hits so many areas. It's about seeing how God can and does use each one of us. How does this message fit with what you hear from the folks who are calling you in response to the Lutheran Hour?
People call us with their prayers and their concerns and struggles in life, and they have questions, and they're wanting answers, and they want to know, what does God want me to accomplish in my life?
Yeah, they're asking big questions, right?
Am I following God's plan, or why would God allow something to happen in their life? And this booklet answers a lot of those questions.
Oh, that's great.
This booklet even tells how God at one time used a worm to accomplish his greater purposes.
Now, wait a minute. How does that happen? All right.
Well, Linda, tell us that story.
The story of Jonah, briefly, is that God had a plan. Jonah didn't like the plan. Mm-hmm. He didn't want God to show mercy to the people of Nineveh. God taught Jonah a lesson. Jonah was in need of shade. He had a plant grow up next to him to give him shade and protection that God provided. And Jonah was enjoying that. And then he sent a worm. The worm ate through the plant. The plant died, and Jonah was in need of God's mercy and help. It was showing Jonah that he needed God's mercy just as much as the Ninevites needed
Absolutely. And he uses that worm also to get him going, too. You know, don't just sit here under the shade plant, because people need to hear about this good news. I think that's amazing when you think about that God can use something so seemingly insignificant as a worm, and yet to even accomplish his plan to get Jonah going, to get Nineveh saved. Wow. So I guess here's the question. Can God use us, too? I mean, is that what this booklet's talking about, Linda?
Yes, he can use us all in our daily lives. We don't have to be something powerful. We don't have to be a well-known personality. He can use us daily at work, at our offices, in our neighborhoods, with our neighbors. He just wants us to share the good news of Christ with others.
You know, you always go back to, even when you're struggling with God's plan, you always go back, like you said, to the ultimate plan. You know that God wants you to be his son or daughter by grace through faith in Jesus. And then, of course, the how to then share that with others, that's the challenge of living this life this side of heaven. You know, again, the name of this booklet is Your Place in God's Plan. Again, Linda, how has this resource helped? Maybe helped you or helped others? Have you seen any of these things in action?
Well, it helps us to know that our life does have purpose, and that we are a part of God's plan. He can use our life, and this book encourages us to see all the different ways that he can use our life, that we have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities, we have resources, and he wants us to use those. It doesn't have to be something really huge. It can be something little, something every day. Every day we're called to be a representative of Christ and stay close to him, and this book helps you to realize
that.
Stay in God's Word.
We're part of that plan. In fact, like we say it here all the time, Mark, be yourself in Christ for others. What a powerful way to live. Linda, thank you for visiting with us here today to talk about this little booklet that's packed with encouragement for all of you. Again, for all of who we are in Jesus Christ and what we can be in his name. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And that is our Action and Ministry segment today, to bless, to empower, and to strengthen your life in Christ for others.
For your free copy of the booklet, Your Place in God's Plan, go to LutheranHour.org and click on Action in Ministry. Or call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. That's 1-855-564-6316. Our email address is info@lhm.org. The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the generous support of Lutheran Hour Ministries donors and partners. To make a gift, please call 1-855-564-6316 or go online, lhm.org. And thank you for partnering with us in this Christ-centered outreach. Together we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you all his peace. Amen.
And now Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions. I'm Mark Eicher. We're going to be hearing a lot about Martin Luther in the year 2017. Does the Reformation message still matter today?
Well, Mark, I can answer that one. Yes.
Well, yeah, I would say that too. But it's a bit more challenging, wouldn't you say, to get that message out?
Well, yes and no. It's true that times have changed. This is a different world than the one that was in Luther's day 500 years ago. But for all the technology, all the so-called wisdom, we really haven't changed all that much.
In what way?
In Luther's day, you know, people had devised a plan to get right with God. They were constantly beaten down with the reality that they were sinners. They needed to make amends, if you will, with the righteous judge of heaven and earth. So there was a system to pay for your sins, indulgences, penances. Now, we're not as religiously guilty today, but we're still guilty, and even many who aren't religious feel that just as in Luther's day.
Really? How is that?
With all the psychoses and problems, many today feel just as guilty as in Luther's day, thinking that they can do works of righteousness to overcome the big problems of the world, the big problems in their life. Their pride makes them think that they're ultimately in control. Now, that might sound modern, but that's the oldest sin of all.
But at the same time, they don't feel that they have to get right with God.
Now, I agree with that, but that is merely a particular blindness of today. You know, there were other times in history where people felt exactly the same way as we do today. But nonetheless, we still have these things that overwhelm us. We feel judgments that are waiting for us, and we live oftentimes in the terror of our own mistakes.
We just don't pay for it the way people of Luther's time tried to do it.
That's right. For instance, there are people today who actually feel more righteous than others because of the car they drive, the light bulbs they use, or the taxes they pay. And so much of that is the same about assuaging guilt. But here's the point. Just as true, even that kind of guilt cannot so easily be dismissed. And even worse, that kind of guilt can also be used to manipulate us, not for our good, but for our ill.
Even as we sometimes yearn for leaders to solve all our problems.
Well, yeah, that's another troubling similarity with the ancients. There were false messiahs then, just like today. So the Reformation message then was like a lightning bolt that hit the culture. It undermined all that public works righteousness stuff and said that the way to deal with real sin and guilt was to look to God in heaven, who had every right to judge, but instead came to save people by forgiving them as a gift of his grace and Jesus alone.
And that message shocked the world.
Well, and it changed the world, too. You know, suddenly life was no longer lived just to overcome guilt. God did that. Now it could be lived in his grace, to give him glory, to serve others in his name joyfully, and to let God not only transform their lives, but even their communities as well.
That understanding of what it means to, quote, get right with God by grace through faith in Jesus alone, now that's a whole new way to look at life.
Exactly, and it's led to many wonderful freedoms. But as sinful people, we also have taken it for granted. People have a hard time thinking about their powerlessness in dealing with sin and guilt, as well as the wonderful potential when their lives are in Christ alone by grace. It seems we always find a way to get back into the same predicaments as in Luther's day.
So that message would not only seem to be just as relevant as in the day of Luther, but perhaps even more so today.
Couldn't have said that any better. And all this talk about being saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus is really talking about what it means to ultimately be free. In Galatians 5, it said, "It's for freedom that you've been set free. Do not let yourselves again be burdened with a yoke of slavery."
As we're talking about this freedom, it's a real freedom that can't be bought, it can't be earned, and it can only be received by grace and lived in grace and joy, which makes it sound relevant to today.
It is. But again, it challenges our self-righteousness, our overestimation of our self-sufficiency, and of course, it exposes our need for life on God's terms. So it's just as needed today, just as powerful as ever, and just as available.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.